T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Here's what I would like to do, and I respect everybody's got a take on Caleb Williams, certainly. I would want to go back and find out, is there a correlation between opinions of women's basketball players on Caitlin Clark and backup quarterbacks on Caleb Williams?
And whether Greg McElroy...
I mean, Caleb Williams, he has never experienced adversity.
Whether Sean King thinks it...
I'm not a Caleb fan.
Orlovsky.
Right. Jaden Daniels should be the guy.
Hasselbeck.
Caleb Williams will go one. Do I think he's the best prospect in this draft class? No, I do not. I think that Drake May is.
The Bears are about to take the most coveted quarterback in an NFL draft for like the first time ever. And they're going to take the guy that they should take with the number one pick.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
No, yeah, you're the night show.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's April 24th. It's Wednesday. Tomorrow is Thursday. Tomorrow is the day of the NFL draft. And thinking about tomorrow, sadness and sorrow, there'll be none.
Good morning, Molly. Yes, tomorrow, 24 hours away from
tomorrow.
Draft day. Caleb Williams, no matter what, that is the edict
from
Ryan Poles.
I get all little orphan-y about it.
It's very exciting. It's very exciting. It is a good news day. Tomorrow will be. Tomorrow. I don't know about today. We'll see how today goes. We'll see how today goes, because today is a big day as well for the Bears organization. We'll talk about the noon news conference at Soldier Field in the United Club, where they will unveil and release renderings, and we have some details. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
I don't know if we want to ruin our morning yet. We'll get to that.
Yeah, the details, the devil's in the details, and unfortunately, this is not going to go well.
Okay, the devil's in the details. We'll start there, because the Tribune did a nice job. Chicago Tribune had a couple of reporters, several, get into the nitty-gritty and got the information. And the story last night at ChicagoTribune.com, the Bears set to announce a $4.6 billion plan. We now know the estimated cost, $4.6 billion. New enclosed stadium, improved lakefront area, half the money coming from taxpayers. Yes, half the money.
Half.
Coming from taxpayers.
So they're putting up their $2 billion, which, God bless them, for a publicly funded stadium. But we're apparently putting up the other part of it.
Bears plan to pledge $2.3 billion of the McCaskey money, whether that comes from the league, whether that comes from the coffers, wherever it comes from. That is the Bears' stake in this.
They're short about $2.3 billion.
That would be half.
Yeah.
So this is a 50-50 enterprise. This is a 50-50 partnership.
Do we get half the money?
This is 50-50.
Do we get half of everything?
No, I don't think so. You get a museum campus that's enhanced. You get a lakefront stadium that is enclosed. You get new
things. 40 years worth of taxes.
How long?
40.
Excuse me. 40 years.
Yeah.
Okay, 40 years. That is our children's children still paying for this. I'm just saying. We both have kids about the same age. I think when you look at the size of the investment, the length of the commitment. I think that I want to speak for myself here. I was excited about the possibility. I'm very intrigued at the renderings, but I'm disappointed by the details. I'm disappointed because it's an audacious ask. It's an audacious ask for $2.3 billion. And I want to be on board with something this grandiose and this potentially huge and pleasing aesthetically and otherwise. But Mully, in this day and age, it's hard to get on board with this.
It's difficult to get on board. I'm really looking forward. I told you, I'm a sucker for drawings, for renderings. I love to let my imagination open up. I want to see a tiny little guy selling a hot dog outside of the stadium, whatever way they want to portray it to me, so I get a matter of scale. I love all that stuff, and I will be totally engrossed in it. And then when I take a look at the money and I look at the level of the ask, and we're going to roll the $693 million.
631, I believe, is still rolled into the...
You may as well make up a number.
The graduated debt.
Yeah, we're going to pay for that too. And then I say, wow, that is beautiful. You guys did a great job. Have fun at Arlington Heights. See you now.
That would still seem to be on the table, I would think, after this.
After runs, today?
After, I would have to think so. I think when you look at the plausible alternatives.
Yeah. Won't your $2 billion get you the whole building up there?
Well, up there?
I'm saying.
I don't know what those renderings necessarily, we know what they kind of look like. I don't know what that math will end up being. I don't know what that equation looks like. But this one looks like this. The stadium would cost $3.2 billion. So if the Bears want to build a stadium that is a publicly owned stadium, as they say, $2.3 billion, which includes some financing through the league. Obviously, we know how that mechanism works. But $1.4 billion in proposed infrastructure improvements, which I think if you wanted to argue, Molly, as we talked yesterday, the government's responsibility or the city's stake in this or the state's stake in this, when you look at $1.4 billion in proposed infrastructure improvements, I could get that. I would understand them even believing that there's some sort of obligation or responsibility from the public sector, from the government enterprise to contribute in that way. So let's talk about the $3.2 billion stadium. Why? Yeah. Why would the public take on that burden of $1 billion essentially added on to something we didn't think it was going to be that high?
Well, I don't think the public's going to.
I don't either. And that's why there's a tinge of disappointment amid all the euphoria that you'll see today expressed at Soldier Field. There's got to be some reality. There's got to be a reality check here. And I think both this week when hearing from Jerry Reinsdorf in his response to this news earlier in the week, and now to Kevin Warren, who leaked these details and is going to be front and center today. Reality check, people. There's got to be – the White Sox and the Bears are going to be combined asking for about $4.5 billion in public money in today's economic and political climate in Chicago.
Listen, you know, you can use all the flowery language you want, and you can compliment everyone and the cut of their jib and – you know, you can praise that God has kissed the lake front. Yes. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
I like to go to Mass. I like to get a dose of faith. I'm all for it, honestly. I just think.
You know what, though?
That when you get down to the nitty gritty, and that's all we've been waiting for forever.
It's what we've been waiting for. God kissed the lake front, but reality's smacking in the head.
Yeah.
And this is untenable the way it's structured right now.
It's just not going to happen. It's just it's too much, too big. I get it. Have grand plans. We called for it yesterday, but I got to tell you,
you're quoting Daniel Burnham.
Yes, but we also have to be realistic. We have to, you know, stir souls, but at the same time, understand that you know, this is a big ask that I don't think anyone has the stomach for. I'm talking anyone. I mean, I guess the mayor does because he's going to be out there and he must know all the details.
You've got a politically desperate mayor, and you've got an organization in the Bears looking for people who they can help if they want to be viewed as a political messiah, if you will, and somebody who would throw a lifeline to a struggling politician. And that may be part of this as well. And I don't want to come off as we're shooting it down before we even see the renderings, I think we'll be swayed a little bit. We'll be impressed. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think what we ought to do, get everybody that's down there to, let's just, hey, as long as you're here, we're going to jump in a car and we're going to drive around the city for a little bit. Okay? We're going to take a look at some neighborhoods. We're going to figure out exactly how much money everybody has and what we need to fix. Yeah. And then you tell us after our little tour whether we should be investing in you or maybe another.
God has not kissed every facet of the city.
No, he hasn't.
Okay. That museum campus and the lakefront is definitely
beautiful,
and it could be enhanced, certainly. And we love the idea of that, and everybody can get behind that, but let's...
World-class city, world-class problems.
Let's take a world-class, big-picture approach
to it, then, and solving them
and prioritizing things. I just don't know how you fit an ask of $2.3 billion in public funding for a private stadium, and why would you help a billionaire, a family that has an organization in the Bears organization worth $6 billion, asking for $2.3 in tax money, essentially?
Right. And they'll say 1.6 of that is for infrastructure, and look how beautiful this is going to look, and that's going to look, and we're going to create jobs by bringing this place in, and then when all these things are going on, man, are people going to be coming to town.
Okay.
It's going to be great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's also all sorts of, security issues. I got to tell you, it's I just have a feeling that the air is going to come out of their imaginary
program. I do wonder when that will happen or if it will happen. We're getting pushback 708 texter, and I think this is an opinion or reflects an opinion that will exist today. Come on, David, money is money. Someone's got to pay for it. Quibbling over it only elongates suspicions.
Well, I don't know what that means, but...
I think that basically accept the fact that this is money that is going to be spent, and if it's not your situation being affected directly, why would you be concerned about it?
Because it's all monopoly money until you find out that you're $639 million in debt. Whoa. And you're just going to and you're going to knock that...
There's also an obligation to be transparent about how your reaction to something like this and what the responsibility is if you have a platform or a public voice in some of this to share that and to talk about the ramifications of something like this. Look, if you're looking at this from a strictly a football perspective, put the shovels in the ground, start building, and let's go. You know,
if it's all about making sure the team's okay,
yeah,
it's great.
If that's it. And that's certainly the way they're looking at Hallis Hall.
Yeah, but that's not the way that the city needs to look at it.
You can't look at
the way the state needs to look at it.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
It's irresponsible to just sit here and look at this strictly through a football prism.
Right.
It just isn't.
Or a baseball prism.
Or a baseball prism. Or a sports prism.
Yes.
Because what happens is that we love our sports. Obviously, we're here because of the passion of the city of Chicago and fans around here. That's why we have this job. That's why this station exists. But you know what? You have to temper that with some reality. And the fact is, things do go through cycles. And right now, Chicago's going through a cycle, and that's not so good. And a lot of these dollars that are being earmarked for a football stadium might have better use doing something else or spent somewhere else. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm
disappointed.
Well, I mean, the fact that the ask is so, ridiculous. It's so out of proportion to what is going on in this town. That's the problem. The problem isn't that you want to build a building by the lakefront. The problem is that you are apparently thinking that someone else should pay for it. That's the problem.
50-50 is the equation that is hard for everyone to I think figure out.
So you get, does the public then get 50% of the revenue from every home game? Does the public get 50% of whatever the parking costs are, whatever you name something? Beer sales?
I doubt that.
50% of that.
I really doubt that, don't you? You're asking it. You know the answer.
I know
it's a rhetorical question.
No,
yeah.
No. This is not. I get it. If you bring in a Super Bowl, that brings in all this money to the area. If you bring,
You know, we heard that with this NASCAR nonsense. And it turns out we pay more money than they than was received.
I'd be careful to compare that. I know what you're saying.
Just saying.
It's the same in principle.
It's another idea.
It is an idea. It's not as invasive.
I don't trust the people spending the money.
I understand that. And I think that's an earned cynicism and an appropriate response based on that. I look at what the Bears want to do on the lakefront as being, I don't even call it a noble cause, but there you could defend it. You could defend it if you want to pay for it. And if, frankly, if the Bears came in here and this morning we're talking about them being willing to foot the bill for the $3.2 billion stadium, and then the public infrastructure would be handled by the government entity, that's a different argument.
That's
a different argument. If we're talking 70-30 versus 50-50, if we're talking about a higher percentage of the cost being incurred by the family that owns the team, then I think that we're not as deflated today coming in, and we're not dreading the renderings and everybody getting head over heels excited about something that may never happen.
Yeah. It's just, you know, I got to be honest with you. When I read the Tribune story, I was just kind of like, okay, that's nice. Good luck.
I applauded at first.
I thought it was good journalism.
You're right. I think this was a good job by the Tribune. I was waiting for the renderings to be leaked in one of the papers. They weren't, to my knowledge. They weren't out there. And that's what I thought they would get out in front of, get everybody excited, and then, here are the gory details.
Yeah, the details are gory.
But, Mully, take a step back, and we comprehend everything about this week unrelated to the draft. The White Sox still in on the 78. That's where they want their ballpark. Jerry Reinsdorf said what? That he will pledge $200 million of his own money, and it's still there would be
dropping the bucket.
That development would still require about $2 billion in public funding based on his appearance in the legislature last month, correct? Let's round it off, $2 billion. Now we know that there's $2.3 billion more the Bears are asking or will ask for state taxpayers, city taxpayers, tax monies, government entities. That's $4.3 billion in public fundings in 2024.
Did we discover oil or a new gold mine or something?
Where are we? Are we in Saudi Arabia?
Did we have diamonds? Across diamonds?
Are we in that made-up city you were talking about yesterday?
That's not made up.
Okay.
They're building it.
Well, they're building it. They're manufacturing it. They're creating it.
Yes.
Are we there?
A $500 billion city. We apparently, according to our sports owners, we're getting there quick.
Apparently so. So I wonder where this is headed after today. I wonder the legislative response to this is going to be interesting. And I know that's not our area of expertise, if we have one. That's not our specialty. We don't know how people downstate at Springfield, legislators around the state, are going to react to this. Which matter? I think Governor Pritzker weighing in on this. Remember, he said, well, I'd like to see what they have to put forward. And the Bears are putting forward offering $2.3 billion, which is a good start.
I mean, it's a start. It's a start. It's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's admirable to have grand plans. It's just, I think it just comes up, $2.3 billion short.
But how short are the White Sox? They're offering $200 million.
Well, they're in trouble too.
Neither idea is good, but at least like the Bears are like really going into their pocket.
Well, the White Sox project isn't $4.6 billion with a price tag. The percentage.
I bet the percentage the Sox are asking for is more than half.
I need to go back look at those details from the Greg Hines story. The White Sox want the problem with the White Sox, not the problem, but the thing to remember with the White Sox is that it's all part of a $9 billion investment in the South Loop, and the $7 billion of the $9 billion is private investment. I don't know if that includes Jerry Reinsdorf's $200 million, but likely. So you think the White Sox have a better chance of getting this done than the Bears?
No. I'm not saying that either. I mean, that's what Greg Hines was saying.
Yeah.
But he's saying that the Sox have more leverage. and we can listen to that if you guys want. But my point is, it's a lot of money, but relative, you know, $2.3 billion compared to $200 million, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, so is the scope of the project.
Sure.
So is the scope of the stadium.
So is the scope of the importance of the team to the city and the state.
I don't disagree with that. I don't know if that factors in necessarily. I don't think people are going to get behind this because they're huge Bears fans. I don't know what role that plays. I think the Bears are appealing to the passion, and they're hoping that that is the case. They're appealing to hoping that every politician has a bit of a meatball mentality in saying, well, you know, it's the Bears. I don't think how you responsibly you can look at it that way, though. Do you really think that fandom will play a part in how people get behind this or not? If you're a politician,
I don't know about getting behind it, but I think it is a part of it. Yes, I mean the mayor, and I understand that he's desperate, as you guys pointed out. He doesn't want to be the mayor that lost the Bears to the Burbs.
I don't know if he also wants to be the mayor that mortgaged the future, the next 40 years of paying for something that was part of a deal where you got just taken.
I don't know. I don't know that they're going to get taken. I just don't know that they have the money. I don't know that the money is there. I don't know that the promise is there. I don't know. It just seems so extraordinarily large. You struggle with the numbers.
If the Bears are able to pull this off.
Well, if they could pull it off, it'd be great.
Somebody got taken, right? If they get the government to pay for half of their building project, their stadium project, come on.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody.
What I'm saying.
Somebody's being duped.
I'm not arguing with you. I just don't know. I don't know that we have what it takes to be duped is what I'm saying. I just don't know. Like, all we need is, where's that coming from? Well, we'll talk.
You can
get
do the
to
fuzzy math.
Oh yeah, you can agree we're going to have these taxes in place.
Yes.
Place that will pay for this. But the reality is exactly what's happened with Soldier Field, and as it currently is constituted, and with U.S. Cellular Field. As it currently is constituted.
Separate things.
Totally separate.
Would you say the Soldier Field deal was a good deal at the time?
Sides.
I don't think you're saying that.
That's not what I'm saying.
No, I that's what I mean. Somebody got taken back in 2003, and the public got taken for a ride. We still have $629 million left on that.
I mean, just think of that.
Was that a good deal in retrospect for the city of Chicago?
Well, we're going to roll it into the $2.6 billion.
That's what I'm saying, is that if you agree you can do the math. Well, somebody's getting duped.
What I'm proposing is that we have our grandchildren go bankrupt. That's what you're talking about. Let's just push it off into the future. And then, you know,
every executive,
this doesn't happen.
Every politician, every business person, they always say this, the same thing. You want to leave something better than when you found it. And
so the debt's going to be so much better.
You can't conceivably, with a straight face, say that as you introduce this idea today, that you're going to leave. It's going to be better.
I am expecting some grandiose verbiage. I am expecting to hear Kevin Warren's delivering this thing. Yeah. Well, he is very flowery, well-spoken man.
No doubt. He's definitely a skilled politician.
Mm-hmm.
He's a skilled political animal. And right now, that is what distinguishes him after a year on the job, that his political savvy is going to be on full display today at Soldier Field at noon. And you can interpret it how you want. We're just telling you how we do.
Yeah, it's a good way of looking at it. But, here's the problem with all this stuff is that it's how long before we even have a resolution to this?
It's going to be sooner rather than later.
Well, I think the resolution, I hope you're right. I hope it's quick. Because if it is, then it's not
they
be a happy
they are
end.
Doing this today, 24 hours before the biggest draft in years and decades, mm-hmm. because they want to get this in this session. The General Assembly has a calendar
right.
that they care about, and that is dictating the pace of this.
Do they have the stomach for this?
The General Assembly.
Yeah.
My sense is no. And heard from somebody overnight that who would be in a position to understand the appetite for the General Assembly and skeptical. Let's just say that. Skeptical. And I don't know if that is an accurate depiction of it, but I do think it wouldn't surprise me if there's a lot of pushback, and I think there should be.
All right, we got games ongoing. We got two baseball teams in town. Well, we got one baseball team in town. We got a minor league team in town, and we'll talk about them next. I think there's a lot to go over. There's the draft coming up, and we're going to touch on all of it. It's the Pick Six next. We'll pick apart all the stories of the day. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you like seeing Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze in a photo together after they flew into Detroit on the same flight? Which of the following caught your attention more? Tom Pelissero tweeting that Williams recently threw some balls to Odunze. Williams tweeting out that he's a big fan of Odunze. Or our guy Big Z mocking the two players to the Bears at number 1 and number 9. It's all coming together, right?
Yeah, that's how it felt when you saw the picture. The two of them are on the same flight to Detroit. And I love Caleb Williams going on Twitter and saying, you know, hey, there's Rome Odunze. That's my guy. I love him. And it just makes you feel the photo of the two of them together. It just makes you feel. And the way that Pelissero put the photo out, he also mentioned that, you know, I think it was two separate thoughts, because he threw to Odunze, I think here in Chicago when they were both in town. But it said that he's throwing to DJ Moore and to Keenan Allen. It made it sound like he's got the three of them are working out together the way it was written.
Like they got the playbook.
Exactly. Like they're already together. And
so that wasn't the case?
No. I think those are two separate thoughts. If you read it a few times, you see what I mean. I don't think they've all been together in California doing that. But, hey, I hope so. If you get Rome Odunze, man, I mean, that's been the guy I've wanted all along. There's some great audio out there from him. He's another guy. He's like a great, well-spoken, intelligent player.
We'd love him.
Oh my God, just the way that
he communicates.
And he talked about breaking down tape and studying Adams, because he's been compared to him. Studying Keenan Allen because of the things that he does, and he's talking about trying to incorporate that stuff into his game. Come on, man. Can you imagine him in the wide receiver room? I got to tell you. And then Big Z's just paying off for me. I mean, it made me feel really good because it's really what I'm secretly hoping for.
Everything, all of it, is all these are all great things. I do want, and this isn't the time or place, this is the place, not the time. I do want you to explain to me, public school educated, about that tweet, because to me it sounded like the four of them were together in California,
right,
playing catch.
It did.
Well,
but I don't think that's the case.
Well, I know, but you got to explain that to me. Like, I'm a public school educated person because I don't understand. I looked at it many times, but this is great. But don't, this is great. This is a great idea, but don't not be ambitious. If it's out there that you can get Marvin Harrison Jr., feel free to do that also. Don't just settle. Let's just not settle on this.
I know. You're right, Dustin. You're right.
Go for it.
But I fell for it a little bit yesterday.
Because there is some talk, really quick, sorry. There is some talk that the Bears might have to move up one more spot to Atlanta's spot to get Odunze. That the Bears have to be worried about somebody jumping them because the Falcons are going defense.
I'll read you the tweet.
Well, let's do it later.
Okay.
Let's do it later. That's a tease.
Okay.
So I think when I saw the picture of Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze at the airport after being on the same flight to Detroit, I felt like it was the Bears' time to take off. They're ready to take off. I don't know where they are going, but they're soaring somewhere special, and it's because of these two guys. And I really thought that
it's great.
If they have that kind of rapport, that Rome Odunze could be good for Caleb Williams in this market, in the way that we look at him and how he interacts with teammates and how we evaluate how cool he is under pressure and situations. I think that if you have somebody that you already have a rapport with, that kind of matters. And so I don't know what his rapport is with Marvin Harrison Jr. I still think we've got to talk through that. But this to me is plan A if I'm the Bears. You can adjust to other situations if the four quarterbacks go and you want to think about moving up. But I think that if you're going in tomorrow, the reason Ryan Poles will sleep well tonight is because the thought of those two guys who are mugging for the camera at the Detroit airport, and they're coming to Chicago on Friday, and everybody's going to be celebrating that.
There's going to be a lot of questions on the draft process.
What was your reaction to what Ryan Poles said during his meeting with the media Tuesday at Halas Hall to carefully discuss his thoughts on Thursday's NFL draft? Did Poles say anything that was even relevant?
I think he was trying to be very deliberate in what he said and what he didn't say. I wonder if what he said about the defensive tackle versus edge discussion wanted to leave the impression that people thought he was going to take Byron Murphy, and that he was going to be motivated to get that Chris Jones clone or to get somebody like that for this defense so they might be compelled to move up ahead of them to leave Rome Odunze on the board. Don't know. Maybe that was intentional. Here's what I wasn't crazy about. I liked what they said about it being hard to make the team. That means depth is going to be a strength of the Bears. I understand that, and this roster reflects that. I didn't like the questions or the tone about, hey, how do you feel now that the rebuild is over? Ian Cunningham, Ryan Poles. Newsflash. Breaking news here on The Score.
It's just starting.
The rebuild is not over.
Just getting going.
It is not over. We sometimes celebrate prematurely the arrival of success that never materializes in this town. So don't do that, Bears. You're not there yet. You're on the way. You lost 10 games last year, and you haven't had a winning record or a playoff victory in a very long time. So don't get ahead of yourself.
Well, that was one of the things that he said that caught my attention. I thought there was actually more there than I expected. When we walked out of here yesterday, I started the mocking of that news conference before it even happened when the three of us walked out together. And a lot of the times they don't say anything, but I thought he actually said a lot. And speaking of playoffs, and that, you know, he said it's going to be really hard to make this roster.
Well, that's the one thing that jumped out.
Then they should be ready to make the postseason. Yeah. If it's hard to make this roster, then you've got to make the postseason. So I thought that kind of set the bar kind of high.
I agree with that, Dustin. I thought that that was the key thing that he said, that it's going to be hard to make the roster. Because, you know, it's been really easy to make the roster. You look at a team that had so many undrafted free agents on it. The reason that you make that roster is because they just need bodies. And so I think what you're saying is that the bottom end of the roster has improved quite a bit. So now they're going after the front end of the roster. They're going to get to the quarterback, and it's his quarterback, and it's a guy that they believe is going to be a blue. And they're going to get another player, and it's going to be a blue. I thought it was interesting what he said about not needing the defensive end, about the tackle, just because of the one player that could be there that you just mentioned is an Aaron Donald clone. If that's the case, then, you know, jump on it. Grab Murphy, if that's the case, if you really believe that's what he is. But I also was kind of wondering, didn't you just draft two guys last year? I mean, is that, if you feel that you got to replace one of the guys that you drafted, then did you draft the right guy? So it makes me just kind of gives me a little moment of, you know, you're questioning your own picks from a year ago, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with doing that. You got to make sure you get the right team.
If the rebuild is going as well as they suggest, they're not redrafting the same position.
Yeah, that's what it would be, is a redraft. So I hope that they're going with the wide receiver as opposed to a defensive player there. But, I mean, I'm probably, as I said yesterday, I'm not going to be complaining about anything that happens, provided they feel like they've got exactly what they need for their football team. And when you look at them, you would say, well, the other end would be the position that they could really use help at. But the reality of life is that if you can get a top player at a position, if you got a guy that you believe is going to be that impactful, then grab him, right? It's all about the multiplier. You use their own words to determine what they should do, which is enhance what they already have. So get top-level talent.
I'll be able to answer that question to you in about 6 months.
Well, in about 6 hours or less, we'll hear from the president, Kevin Warren, of the Bears. That's his voice there. Do you anticipate learning a lot more about the Bears' future plans at Soldier Field during the Dome rollout today than you did from Poles and Ian Cunningham yesterday? Are you at all skeptical of the new Dome home, or are you ready to get excited?
Well, I was ready for all this stuff, and I the reading the Tribune story stopped me cold a little bit, frankly, when you start looking at the reality of the numbers and what they have in mind. I will keep an open mind in terms of, I told you I'm a sucker for drawings and renderings and all that stuff, so I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing that and kind of having a moment with it and imagining what the lakefront could be. But I'm also fairly skeptical about the price tag on the thing and how they're going to get that past the public. And I think this should be something that the public has a say in. I don't think that this should be a political, you know, maneuvering with politicians and people that, even if they're elected officials, I think this should go to a public vote, you know, like it did in Kansas City, and they did not get the approval. But I think that people should be allowed to express their opinion of it. So I'm all for some kind of referendum on the ballot.
I am also all for a referendum on the ballot. Let the people decide. I'm all for that. Listen, we're not going to... Are we going to find out today that it's boom or bust on the lakefront? I don't think so. This could be another ploy. This whole thing could be a ploy to get Arlington Heights to blink, to flinch, right? I mean, it could. It very well could. Now, I believe Kevin Warren when he says that he loves the idea of building a new stadium on the lakefront. I do too. Like, I mean, I've said from the start, I want my pro teams playing in the city of Chicago. I work in the city of Chicago. I don't live in the city of Chicago. Unfortunately, I don't come down to Chicago other than 5 days a week for work. I don't spend a lot of time in the city. Haven't spent a lot of time in the city since COVID. So I don't know how it would affect me personally directly. Let's see. I'm open-minded. I want to hear about it. I want to hear them tell me how many big events are going to come to the city, how many people are going to make, you know, a great living for half a decade while they're building this thing.
I agree with that in terms of what you want to hear, but I don't think anything is going to drown out the noise that's created by the reaction to the fact that they're asking for $2.3 billion in public assistance.
And maybe they'll say that's BS, right?
I don't know that they can say that directly, and I don't think they would want to poo-poo that because I trust the Chicago Tribune in this case. Maybe that's my blind spot, but I do trust the reporting here. And it's hard for me to envision the General Assembly in this climate approving, or even the city council or whatever government entity in this climate today, approving $2.3 billion from taxpayers to fund the Bears' dream house. And I just don't think that's realistic. And you're going to hear some things today that are grandiose in terms of rhetoric, that are impressive in terms of images. You're going to see the renderings and we're all going to swoon. And it's going to be beautiful and gorgeous. And what a thing to consider. Because God has kissed the lakefront. Chicago is a world-class city. And we all want that to continue. And yeah, the Bears belong here. But what were they doing buying their land in Arlington Heights? I mean, so that, I still think it could end up there. What you hear today is going to be what I would consider an audacious ask. An audacious ask by a guy that's not afraid to speak in such terms, Kevin Warren. But I don't think that you're going to be leaving this press conference after hearing and seeing what we see and say, okay, all right, where do I sign up? I think it's a lot. It's a lot for the Bears to even this 50-50. That's not a good percentage for the people.
Again, I won't tell you I completely know the answer to that question.
What did you think of the Cubs placing Kyle Hendricks on the injured list? And do you believe he really has a bad back? And any of the other moves the Cubs made surprise you?
I was actually pleased the Cubs did something proactive here with the Cubs of Kyle Hendricks. I hope that he takes the time off, figures out something mechanically. He's done it before. Maybe he can do it again. I am skeptical that the back was inflamed or was barking or however you want to describe it after his last start. But I think this is the inevitable outcome. You don't have to make a decision until you have to make a decision. Come back in 2 weeks and see where things stand. I was a little more surprised by Garrett Cooper getting designated for assignment and Matt Mervis, Smash Mervis, coming up to give him a left-handed bat. They have 16 games in 16 days. Last night was the first of 16. They won it. Mike Tauchman, two homers. Nice job. But I think the Garrett Cooper release was more of a surprise than Kyle Hendricks getting on the IL. Maybe Wesneski coming back, open eyes a little bit, he'll help. So a good day for the Cubs roster.
The Garrett Cooper thing surprised me. Happy for Mully's guy, Mash Mervis. When I heard the Kyle Hendricks news, I immediately thought Rodney Dangerfield and Caddyshack. Oh, my arm, it's broken. Oh, I mean, that's where my brain went, I guess, you know, back to junior high. That's what I thought. Like, that's not what happened. And everybody's saying, well, you can't fake an injury, you'll get in trouble. Well, you can, you know, oh, well, I pitched my bullpen today and my back's a little balky. Okay, that's fine. He knows he needs a break. He knows he needs a timeout. He knows his body better than anybody else. And he knows that he's got to work on some stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I was not surprised by the Hendricks thing. We've been waiting on it. We've kind of been calling for it, if you read between the lines of what we've been saying about how you can't keep rolling the same guy out there and now they got 16 in a row and how are you going to do that. I think the biggest surprise of the day was Mervis. And I know that he's been raking, but the idea that he's now back with the big league club. Michael Bush has got that position locked up, but the Garrett Cooper, that decision of taking Mash Mervis and he can be your DH and he's the left-handed bat, that whole thing was the biggest news to me of the day. It didn't stun me at all that Wesneski is back. You know, we haven't talked a lot about Drew Smyly, the hip pointer, whatever his issue is. You know, he has done great, so it doesn't stun me that he had an issue. But I honestly did not see the release of Garrett Cooper and having Mervis back on the team. I think he's been doing well down in Iowa, and I think we knew that bat was loud. I also really enjoyed one of the pregame interviews with him. I think Bruce talked to him, where he talked about putting a lot of pressure on himself the last time he was up. So it will be good.
That was good.
I really enjoyed that. So, I mean, I love it. I'm really pleased to see Matt Mervis back with the big league club, and I hope he does rake.
Mash Mervis.
You know, that's a question. That question is for each individual fan.
What is more likely to happen if the White Sox continue to lose at the alarming rate? Chris Getz fires his friend, Pedro Grifol, or Getz publicly offers a vote of confidence by absolving his manager, or absolutely nothing?
Well, the nothing is hitting a brick wall here. You got to do something. It's time. I hate to tell you that it's time. We're going to talk to Ozzie Guillen later. Does he have any interest in managing this team? I'm being honest. I've got a bunch of friends, Sox fans, and people are still tuning in and then tuning out, and we're still kind of talking to each other about it. And I got to tell you, I don't know anyone that thinks that this should go on with Pedro Grifol. He had a terrible game yesterday again. And it was he made some bad, dumb manager decisions. This guy doesn't belong as the manager of the White Sox. I'm sorry. I don't care how much money you owe him. You just can't keep rolling this out, and the way that he talks about it and everything that is going on here. Their policy of burying their heads and not responding to anything that's happening, that's not working either. So, I mean, they just have to sit up and take notice. And unfortunately, whether it's his fault or not, Grifol is overseeing this, and therefore he will probably be the first head to roll. But something has to happen. This can't go on. This can't go on in the fashion in which it has.
I think you could DFA a veteran player that's not carrying his weight, see the catcher. You could start there. That's where you get into the accountability thing, right?
Just again, it's money,
okay,
isn't it?
Well,
it's how much you pay.
Either
him.
One. I mean, either you got it.
I'm with you.
So you fire Pedro Grifol, and I'm not here to back up Pedro Grifol. You fire Pedro Grifol. Okay, now who's managing other than Ozzie Guillen, who we can all get on board with? Who's managing the White Sox? And you think Ozzie Guillen's is Ozzie going to hit?
Coach? He's had success in the league.
Montoya.
You got a guy sitting there.
Well, he's sitting there, and what's he doing?
I don't know.
I love that idea. You know, we'll hire the bench. So what's the bench coach exactly been doing? Hiding all the top secrets, waiting for his buddy to get fired so that he can make it all right? Aren't they working together? Aren't they collaborating?
You need a culture change. You need a culture change immediately. And the guy who is most likely to change the culture immediately is watching every game and entertaining us post-game and pre-game. It's Ozzie Guillen. There's no question about it.
No shadow.
We talked to him at 8 o'clock. We'll address this. I wonder if he's been approached. I wonder if he would take it. It's a lot to ask, but I think that he would do it. You know, Ozzie Guillen is not just a funny guy with good insight. Ozzie Guillen is a history maker. He is a legend
in
Chicago.
Look what he just did in Venezuela.
Look what he did over the winter. Ozzie Guillen makes sense because the White Sox are desperate. 3-20 is they're staring at 50 victories if you're lucky. You know what they have to do record-wise to win 50 games, to win 60 games? But you're not looking for that. Right now you're looking for respectability. You're looking for a tone. You're looking for anything to cling to. And Chris Getz, good test. Can you fire a friend? And I don't think it is Pedro Grifol's fault. That will be the way this is viewed.
No.
But you have to do something, because if you don't, you're Chris Getz, and you risk ruining your own reputation.
Yes.
And you have to worry about that, because you're new here. You're newer than this guy who used his closer in the eighth inning and his setup guy in the ninth, and it backfired both times last night. You're not pushing any of the right buttons. So I don't know that he has a long shelf life. Maybe not fair, but pro sports aren't.
Is it wrong that the minute the Cubs DFA a guy like Garrett Cooper, I think the Sox should sign him? They need, like, professional players.
The Sox should sign him.
I'm just saying.
The Sox should trade for Mash Mervis.
It's how bad things are.
Yes, exactly.
And, I mean, I'm not dissing the Cubs players. I'm saying anybody who is capable of coming in should be brought in. That's where they're at.
Garrett Cooper should bat behind Tommy Pham.
Let's go.
No, it's a great question, Molly.
Kobe White finished second to Tyrese Maxey for the most improved player in the NBA. Did White get robbed? Should a guy like Maxey, who already has considered an all-star, get more recognition for being a good as expected as a guy like White who exceeded expectations? What's the rationale here?
I have no earthly idea. Kobe White, he averaged 19 points a game, the highest points per game increase in the league at 9. Kobe White was playing 13 more minutes than he played last year. That's the biggest jump in the league in terms of minutes played per game. He was one of three NBA players with at least 1,000 points, 350 rebounds, 375 assists, and 200 made three-pointers. The other two, DeJounte Murray and Luka. That's great company to keep. That was his award to win. He deserved it. This is a farce. Tyrese Maxey's a great player. He was great last year. How much greater did he become? Now, the gap that was created between last year and this year was wider for Kobe White than anybody in the league, and I think he got robbed.
Well, I don't know about getting robbed. It's a nice award to receive, I guess. But, you know, all these different awards, and, you know, they say that there's rules like, don't, you know, consider this, don't consider that, consider this, don't consider that. You know, how about winning? Does winning matter? You know, the 76ers lost Embiid for quite a lot of time, and the 76ers stayed relevant, thanks in part to Tyrese Maxey. Now, again, the Bulls, thanks in part to Kobe White, got to where they got, but that's not as far as the 76ers got. Kobe White was also a lottery pick. Tyrese Maxey was the 21st selection overall. So there's a difference there. Expectations, right? You know, so it was close. Just enjoy the fact that you got, it was a very close vote. I mean, what are we going to throw a parade? You know, run it all back because they got the most improved player in the league?
Telling me to settle down. This guy's telling me to settle down.
That's what he's doing. Listen, I got to tell you, I was pleased that Kobe White finished second. I think that the problem is Tyrese Maxey is playing for a significantly better team. And he made the playoffs, and he's hitting shots when it matters. And the Bulls are an afterthought. And Kobe White had a great year because there was an injury as much as any other reason. And because he got an opportunity. And so he took advantage of it. And I was hoping that he would win because I think he had a great year. But I completely understand that Maxey won it. And I think Maxey's a better player, frankly. So I think that comes into play.
That's not the award, though.
But it comes into play when you are voting on the comeback player of the year, as I was saying. I just think it comes into play. So, I feel bad for Kobe White, and I really like Kobe White, and I think he is a guy that can be a part of this beyond a year or two, which is the only other options you have with some guys. So here's hoping. Here's hoping they find more of him. More of him, please, sir. All right, 312-644-6767, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Ryan Poles addressed the reason why he had only one quarterback, Caleb Williams, visit Hallis Hall.
I would say the different prospects are kind of, the journey to collect all that information is different for everyone. There's guys on our board that are high that didn't come in for a 30 visit, that we've had other touch points. Our networks in the building know the player inside and out that we really, really trust. You had the combine. There's different kind of touch points. Don't necessarily have to bring everybody in.
Do you believe polls performed enough due diligence on the 2024 QB class? And this is asked knowing painfully well that not performing due diligence before the 2017 draft led the previous regime to a draft the wrong guy.
I think that's the spirit of the question, isn't it? There's still people with scar tissue from the Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes experience. And then the revelation later that even though he's viewed differently now, at the time, Deshaun Watson was the guy that made a lot of sense, and the Bears never even took him out to dinner. So the accusation, allegation, the reality was they didn't perform all their due diligence because they drafted the wrong guy. They drafted the guy that they fell in love with at a dinner because of what he drove and how he made the reservation. And that was a mistake, historically bad mistake. This isn't that. This isn't that at all. So I understand the spirit of the question, but the answer was a good one. When you know, you know. And Caleb Williams made it so obvious that the gap between him and the rest of the quarterbacks, I think, in this draft is much wider than it was in 2017, than it is in most drafts. So getting to know him was priority one, and the more they got to know him, the more they liked. They were at J.J. McCarthy's pro day in Ann Arbor. They were at Jaden Daniels' pro day in Baton Rouge. They ignored Drake May. I get that. That's okay. I don't think you need to just look busy. I don't think you need to waste your time. When you know, and they know everything they need to about Caleb Williams, which is why tomorrow is finally the day. They'll do what they couldn't admit to doing yesterday. Ryan Poles was kind of sheepish about that. But they didn't need to do due diligence because it was all devoted to the guy they're going to draft.
Well, they've made that decision, and they have the right to make that decision. I disagree with the decision. And I also, it's some of the pros and cons as I'm trying to get all on board with Caleb Williams. So, some of this, I feel like I don't know that Caleb Williams plays very well in the sandbox as far as quarterback. He's the guy, no questions asked. He's getting all the reps. I don't even know if he's going to allow another quarterback to take a rep up at Halas Hall or anywhere else. That's how much it's, I'm the quarterback, get out of my way, the way I'm reading him after watching and reading as much stuff as we have. And that's okay. I mean, he is all football. I mean, this guy is football, football with a side of football, with a little football sprinkled on top of that. And that's what you want. But you better be right. Because if you're wrong, we're going to be asking this question again in 2030.
This is fascinating because I'm glad all this is on record. Let's put it that way. Look, did they make an error last year? I'm talking about the Carolina Panthers. Did they look closely enough at the quarterbacks available? They made the wrong choice. That's apparent after 1 year. But did they look closely enough at the quarterbacks and balance them? Did the Bears do that? You know, if Jaden Daniels turns out to be the best quarterback in this draft, or if it ends up being Drake May, or if any of these guys are better than Caleb Williams, I think it's a legitimate question to how did that happen? How did you have the number one pick and lock into a guy and not bring in other guys for interviews? How did that whole thing unfold? And so it's documented of how they went about it, of how they believe they have the information that they need. It, you know, this is not breaking news that when you draft Caleb Williams Thursday night as the number one quarterback in the draft, he then faces the scrutiny that he has to be the best player among those quarterbacks. That's just the reality of how life works. So you make that choice, you go with that guy, and then you live with the results. I think Caleb Williams is the right choice. I really do. And I feel good about the move that they're making. And I think somebody said, I forget who it was, that his energy, that his kind of gravitas as a player comes across on tape. That you feel that as you watch him play, that he's going to escape. He's going to make a play. He's going to do something, and he's going to throw the ball accurately, and his arm angles don't matter. He's still going to get the job done. this is the guy that we're looking at the Bears acquiring tomorrow. We're going to evaluate it. We're going to pick it apart. We'll come up with all the ways that the NFL measure every aspect of a quarterback, and we're going to be able to watch this unfold in front of us.
And ultimately, what you saw on tape made much of the other aspects of the pre-draft process, I don't want to say minimally important, but it lessened how much you're going to weigh those factors, because what you saw on tape made you think that there was a wide gap between him and everybody else.
Yes.
And
that's
so
exactly right.
When you're talking about those things, this is much more obvious than it is in most drafts. This is the guy that you see using that easy confidence and his personality.
Yes.
And it does translate on the field. So he's kind of the same guy on and off the field. And that is encouraging. I don't know where Dustin's getting the doesn't play well in the sandbox thing. I don't know if that's a fair picture.
I know you watched it, David.
I did watch.
And he does not. The whole thing about Oklahoma and why he left and why he pivoted and Spencer Rattler, and I think it plays into why the Bears dumped Justin Fields the way they did. I think it's all connected.
I think it's a reach.
Okay. Well, we've got the audio if you want to listen to it later.
Okay. I think it's a reach.
Okay.
He was 18 years old. He beat out Spencer Rattler, by the way.
He did?
And he left.
He did?
Didn't he beat out Spencer Rattler in
Oklahoma? No, that's why he left, because he didn't get...
He left because Lincoln Riley left.
That's why he left. He's following his coach.
He left because Lincoln Riley left. Let's
Spencer
be honest
Rattler
here.
Was the starter.
Lincoln
he
Riley...
He talks about not being able to take snaps with the ones and not getting the opportunity to show. And he knew, he knew that he was the best guy.
He
went there to be the best. He definitely went to Oklahoma because he wanted to be associated with Lincoln Riley. That's a no doubt about it. That's what happened.
And that's why he went to USC. Look, if you want to get caught up on something he did when he was 18 years old, more power to you. I just am not.
Listen, I think
that's part of the process. That's part of the journey.
All that stuff will be stuff we look back on and talk about the hints and the little kernels that we should have seen. This is the process. This is what happens when you draft a quarterback, and if he works out, then you take all that as gold, and that's what you needed to know. And if it doesn't, these are the things you talk about. So it's going to be a ton of fun. We'll listen to it later. We'll get into all this stuff. We've got a lot to argue about. We're going to do it throughout the course of the program. We're going to get to your calls next. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
You've had such a long process with this. Your pick is not contingent on what anyone else does. You have a top pick. You've talked throughout publicly as though Caleb is the plan. Are you set on making him your quarterback now?
So, unfortunately, it's one of those things I think everyone's got to tune in on Thursday to watch and figure out. But I feel really good about our process and where we are and where we're headed. So, we know what we're going to do. But everyone's going to have to wait till Thursday to go there.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's not start the draft too early,
okay.
Mr. David.
All right. Got to watch anyway. It definitely is going to be worth watching. There are no surprises expected. Ryan Poles is just being coy. They've got their guy. Did you see the smiles on their faces when they were talking about Caleb Williams?
They were so much more relaxed than you would expect big draft moment to be.
Well, they can't lose tomorrow night. That's the thing. They are in such a good mood. They look so happy. They feel such little pressure, Mully, I think because really, okay, you're not going to wake up Friday morning feeling bad about much if you're the Bears. Something would have to go terribly wrong, but that's not the expectation. The expectation is you're going to draft Caleb Williams at 1, you're going to get your guy at number 9, and if you maneuver either back or forward to get a guy you're even more feel more conviction about, you're going to feel good about every decision you make on Thursday night.
Yeah, and tomorrow, obviously, is the night. You can tune in from 5 p.m., 5 to 9 after the game. You can tune into the Score, and you will find wall-to-wall coverage of round 1 of the NFL draft, Parkins and Spiegel are doing a draft special live in Detroit, and they will have expert analysis from Dave Wannstedt, from Patrick Manley. Tune in on the Score of the Odyssey app. You can also watch the Parkins and Spiegel draft show. The special will be on Twitch and X or even YouTube. And we should let you know that draft coverage on the Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
I love the draft. I love the way they have spaced it out every day. I would do it even more. I would have one round per night, do it all week long, look at the ratings they would create. It would be awesome. I love the draft. And I know it's not for everybody, but I love the way that it's become the pinnacle of the offseason for
so
the NFL.
We're like five nights in. We're on the sixth round. They've got a camera on a guy who's been sitting there for 4 days.
Yeah, exactly. And he hasn't changed his suit.
No.
It's Will Levis from last year, but like 3 days past that.
Yeah, right. Remember last year we were talking about Will Levis and his banana and mayonnaise? Was that what it was? Was that what he did? Anyway.
Yes, we have.
Well, no, he puts mayonnaise in the coffee.
Okay.
And he eats the banana with the peel
on it. I knew there was some sort of combination of banana.
So when I go to Starbucks next time, which one of you would like mayonnaise in your coffee?
Not me. I'm not a mayo guy.
No, thank you. I like mayo on a sandwich. And you know what's really nice? If you give me like a little hint of, like, if you want to like throw something in the mayo, make it like a garlic mayo.
Garlic?
An aioli of some kind.
Spicy?
I'll take that all day.
Spicy mayo?
If you want to spice it up, I'm here for you.
All right.
But yeah, give me, it doesn't have to be just that. Don't ever put it in my coffee.
I don't like, not in coffee.
Ever.
I don't like mayo. I don't mind mayo with, obviously, tuna salad. You need a little mayo with your tuna. I like tuna salad. So I could go that way. I'm not going to be putting it in coffee anytime soon. Do they have any hazelnut mayo? Might be the way I'd put it in my coffee.
I sincerely hope
not. I'm more anti-mayo, David, than you are anti-hot dog.
Oh, wow. That'd be hard.
Well, you ate a hot
dog.
I don't eat mayo.
Okay.
That made me happy. Unfortunately, I was suffering from a food poisoning episode.
I ate a hot dog and you got botulism.
That doesn't seem fair.
Sympathy pains.
Let's get to Don. Don's on the west side. Hey, Don, what's up, bud?
Hey, good morning, guys. I think the most exciting thing about the whole Caleb Williams thing now is I watched the Pivot podcast, man, and I wasn't listening so much to what he was saying, but just his reactions to even the things that were being said in the interview. He's very competitive. Like, some of the questions that was asked, like about him crying, and I believe the other one, the one about him coming to Oklahoma and all that. And just some of the things that he feels slighted on, and, the guys just don't like it. If you look at him, he, like, scrunches his face like he smells something stink, all type of things. So I like that. I like an irritated chip on the shoulder type of person. That's like that Mamba mentality of the Michael Jordan thing, not to be comparing them to greats in a different sport, but you know how they took everything personally. You know what I'm saying? That was that extra motivation if any is needed. So I'm very excited about that. And as far as the other part about, they really didn't give you nobody else to fall in love with. So, Caleb Williams is what we have, obviously, hopefully. It's not set in stone yet. But, I'm excited about him, though. I think he's a good leader. I think he's very composed. All the things from living on his own and houses since he was 18. You can look at that as being bougie, or you can look at that as being very responsible. If you can control yourself from a teenager with that type of freedom all the way up until now with no mistakes, hey, let's give it a shot. All right, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Don.
Excellent, Don.
That's a good phone call.
Yeah, always. Don does great.
He summarized it well, and I do think that on that podcast you heard, it was 80 minutes long, I think, a lot of times Caleb Williams was not afraid to address things that were uncomfortable topics, or could be to some people, the crying with his mom in the stands and how he just lost it and showed the emotion. All the things that we have heard people criticize, he did not shy away from addressing. That's maturity.
Let's try John. John's in Joliet. Hey, John, how are you, bud?
Hey, good morning, guys. A couple of quick things. First of all, as for the Chicago Bears asking for the citizens to pay half of that stadium with police officers getting shot, 70 million just passed for migrants, the violence going on in the city, I'm going to say that's going to be a hard no for a lot of citizens to accept that and want to pay for something like that when there's other things that need to be attended to. As for the manager situation, Ozzie Guillen would have been the perfect manager before Tony La Russa was selected. But right now, my selection would be A.J. Pruszynski. What do you think, guys?
Thanks, John. Appreciate the phone
call. Thanks, John.
Good point on the priorities both in the city and maybe throughout the state. And you wonder about asking for $2.3 billion in this climate. As for the manager, you know, A.J. Pruszynski's a lightning rod. I love him in the booth, in the studio, and on his podcast. I don't know that you want to bring in, frankly, with due respect, a rookie manager into a situation this bad.
Well, this is an awful situation. You know, the lack of talent would be unfair to anybody who tried to manage the team. I just think that Ozzie, as an experienced hand who just took a Venezuelan team to this world championship run, I don't know, man. I mean, Ozzie is a better manager right now, in my opinion, than Pedro Grifol is going to be in 5 years.
Then a lot of people in the majors right now are going to be or will ever be. Ozzie has a track record of doing more with less.
Yes.
This is no disrespect to A.J. Pruszynski, but I thought back when they hired Tony La Russa, A.J. Pruszynski might have made sense because that team was ready to win now.
All right, we got to get to Dan Wiederer. Dan's waiting in Detroit. I'm not sure. I think he may have driven there, so he wasn't on the flight with Odunze and Caleb Williams.
He did fly there?
But it wouldn't surprise me.
Not the same plane. He did fly there.
It would not surprise me if he somehow figured out what they were up to, got to L.A. and got on. We'll talk to him next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.